from all you maidens young and fair. All you that are blooming in your prime, always beware and keep your garden fair. Let no man steal away your time, for time it is a precious thing, and time brings all things to my mind. Time with all its labors, along with all its joys, time brings all things to my mind. She thought it never would decay. Then came a lusty sailor who chanced to pass her way. He stole her bunch of thyme away. The sailor gave her a rose, a rose that never would decay. He gave it to her to keep her reminded of when he stole her time away. Come on, you maidens young and fair, all you that are blooming in your prime, always beware and keep your garden fair, let no man steal away.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling. And starting the programme off tonight was Foster and Alan there singing A Bunch of Thyme. Oliver Lee is my name, and the programme brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. You're listening to us tonight on Planet FM in Auckland. Delayed broadcast going out in Wellington, Kapiti Coast and Christchurch on Saturday night. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and indeed around the world. Just going back to Foster and Alan, they start a nationwide tour of New Zealand playing at 16 venues. So wherever you're listening around New Zealand or wherever you're living and you're a fan of Foster and Alan, you'll be able to get a chance to see them. They kick off their nationwide tour on April the 13th and runs till the 6th of May. And they start off in Tauranga, then they move to Auckland, two concerts in Hamilton, then they go to New Plymouth, Palmerston North, Blenheim, Christchurch, Ashburton, Timaru, Invercargill, Dunedin, Wanganui, Napier and Wellington. And I've got some double passes to give away for the concerts in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch. So if you're a Foster and Alan fan, you'd like to go, I think I've got two double passes for each concert. I'll give you the contact details where you can write to later, so you can get a pen and a paper and we'll talk to you, give you the details later on. In a few minutes time, I'm going to have a chat to Paul O'Donovan. Paul and Gary O'Donovan came to fame when they won They came second in the Olympics in the Lightwell Skulls doubles in Rio de Janeiro, August 2016. And they came out of nowhere. Other people in Ireland were expecting medals to come from boxing and maybe sailing, but nobody expected medals to be won in the rowing. And the two brothers, not alone did they win silver, they could have got gold, but they came worldwide superstars with their just plain speaking sort of talk. But anyway, they're down here along with two other friends, Shane O'Driscoll and Mark O'Donovan, getting ready to compete in the New Zealand National Championships next week, and they performed down there in Lake Karapiro this week. So we're going to have a chat to Paul in a few minutes tonight, on tonight's programme. I was talking to him today and I asked him to pick all the songs for the programme tonight, and he's come up with this selection of songs, starting off with Luke Kelly and the Dubliners singing all about the part of Ireland where he's from, Skibbereen.
Oh, Father dear, and I often hear you speak of Erin's Isle. Her lofty scenes, her valleys green, her mountains rude and wild. They say it is a lovely land wherein a prince might dwell. Then why did you abandon it? Oh, the reason to me tell. My son, I loved my native land with energy and pride, till a blight came over all my crops and my sheep and cattle died. The rents and taxes were to pay, and I could not them redeem. And that's the cruel reason I left old Skibbereen. 'Tis well I do remember the bleak November day, when the bailiff and the landlord came to drive us all away. They set the roof on fire with their cursed English spleen, and that's another reason I left old Skibbereen. Oh, your mother, to God rest her soul, lay on the snowy ground. She fainted in her anguishing, seeing the desolation round. She never rose, but passed away from life to immortal dreams. And that's another reason I left old Skibbereen. Oh, you were only 2 years old, and feeble was your frame. I could not leave you with my friends, for you bore your father's name. I wrapped you in my coat the more, at the dead of the night unseen. And I heaved a sigh, and I said goodbye to dear old Skibbereen. Oh, well, Father dear, and the day will come when on vengeance we will call. And Irishmen, both stout and tall, will rally unto the call. I'll be the man to lead the van beneath the flag of green. And loud and high we'll raise the cry, revenge for Skibbereen.
Yes, indeed, that's... Well, that's a good song to introduce my special guest on the programme tonight, Paul O'Donovan. Paul is down here along with his brother Gary and Robbie. Who else is here? There's another man, Shane O'Driscoll and Mark O'Donovan. They're down here competing the rowing in New Zealand, and they're joining us tonight, I think, from somewhere around Lake Karapiro. Was that right, Paul? You're camped down there somewhere?
Yeah, that's correct. So we're staying in Lumacombe Village, which is kind of in the Cambridge area. So it's fabulous.
Well, welcome to New Zealand. How have you enjoyed your time here so far?
Oh, the best ever. Yeah.
You pull that phone close to your mouth now. You're coming and going.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me, Darren?
I can hear you better now there, yeah.
Oh, perfect, yeah. I'd say it's the best place we've ever been in our lives, to be honest. Everyone's always saying it's like home and a bit like Ireland, but geez, I think it's nothing like it anyway, to be honest. You get sunshine and that type of thing over here. We wouldn't be used to that, sure.
Well, you get a bit of sunshine in Cork, and, you know, they probably play a better brand of hurling in Cork than they would in New Zealand. But yes, New Zealand, I have to say myself, I arrived here in 1989 for a week, and I'm still here, and I do like it, and certainly... this time of the year, with the weather being warm, it's great. So how are you getting on down there in Lake Karapiro? What's the not too windy at the moment, is it, down there? Were you practicing today?
Yeah, no, we're practicing today now. So today was one of the most breeziest days since we've been here, but it's still nearly perfect, to be honest. You wouldn't take any notice of it. And sure, the sun shining anyway, you'll be happy no matter what the wind is like.
And you all competed last week. What did you compete in the North Island Championships last week?
That's correct, yeah, the North Island Rowing Championships. We did the single sculls and the double sculls, and the two other boys, Shane and Mark, did the pairs event. So, we got our asses kicked at that anyway by the New Zealanders, so we'll have to spend the next few weeks getting into shape for the National Championships there on the middle of February.
Well, let's go back. When did it all start for you? When did you get into Tyrone, and who got you involved in it?
Yeah, so we were very young, especially myself and my brother Gary. I was 7 and he was 8 years of age. And our dad, Teddy, he used to row when he was, say, in his early 20s or something. And he never did anything major, but he always stayed involved in the rowing club and to get involved on the coaching side of things. So we were always pestering him and stuff and just saying, when will you take us rowing? And he gave in eventually. And we've been at it ever since. And We used to play a bit of rugby and Gaelic football at home, but then rowing just kind of took over, and we were kind of happy to let that happen. And it's been going not too bad ever since.
And since your success at the Olympics and World Championships, is there more and more people getting involved in rowing in Cork and indeed in other parts of Ireland?
Absolutely, yeah. It was the first Olympic medal that Ireland ever after taking in rowing, so... there was a huge surge of youngsters wanting to join all the rowing clubs around the country. And I suppose because it was never experienced before, people weren't expecting it, so they weren't prepared and they didn't have boats and equipment and stuff to try and facilitate them. So they had a bit of a job at the start, but they're after getting a handle on things now. So hopefully in 10 or 12 years' time, that'll pay dividends and we'll have a much bigger and stronger team, hopefully, at World Championships and Olympics. And since we took the Olympic medal, then there's been a good few European medals and World Championship medals as well. So it's been a good couple of years for Irish rowing.
And obviously, before the Olympics, you've had a lot of success. You had to qualify for the Olympics. So while some of us down here and probably people in other parts of Ireland, didn't know too much about you, you were kind of grinding away there and made the Olympics. And obviously, you didn't surprise yourselves by getting the silver medal. It could even mean a gold.
Yeah, John, that's the thing, John. We've been training very hard all the years up to it, and we knew the year of the Olympics that we could see our own times in training, that we were in great condition. And we picked up a few medals earlier in the season and won a European Championship. But unfortunately, the French got the better of us by half a second then. Out in Rio, but sure, I mean, fair play to them, you know, they're nuts or something, so you can't complain with it, really.
Well,
be happy, you know.
If people didn't hear or know about you before the Olympics, they certainly knew about you after that interview that you gave to RTE after getting second place and getting the medals. And so the two of you were just sitting there. There was a bit of a background of Rio, the water, the river, the lake where you were rowing, and then the interview just started and you're talking away like you're talking to me now, and after that you became world famous all over the world.
Yeah, actually, I know how that happened. I'd say we were just after going a bit delusional there after racing so hard, you know, we didn't know what we were thinking or saying. But it was grand then. It Joe made some publicity for rowing, which Joe's sport as a whole, like all over the world, it doesn't get too much recognition. So I think all the countries around the world and the world governing bodies were delighted that there was kind of so much attention for the sport at the Olympics in the media, you know. Well, I suppose it's always a positive for kind of a minority sport like rowing is in most places.
But for obviously it did a lot for Rowan, but it must have driven the sales of steak and spuds and eggs up as well, because that's what you were looking to eat after that major achievement.
Yeah. So, we get an awful slagging over that now these days, so we do. So, but you have to eat it as well. Like, you couldn't be eating their fine steak down here in New Zealand as well. You couldn't complain about it.
So tell me then, after the Olympics, of course, before you went home for the celebrations, and the Olympics itself was a bit of a letdown for Ireland, apart from yourselves and Annalise Murphy in sailing. Our boxers, some of them are robbed and some of them didn't perform. And then we had the controversy over the Pat Hickey affair. So your success and Annalise's, certainly brought a bit of excitement and joy to all the Irish Olympic fans. And Thomas Barr as well, he did well. He was unlucky not to medal. Mm. So there was some successes. Then you before you went home for the celebration, go to Holland and compete in a world championship as well for a few days, and you did well in that.
Yeah, that's right. I made a detour along the way. The kind of the non-Olympic events in rowing, they have a world championship for them near the Olympics. So they were on a week or two after, and our aeroplane was passing through Amsterdam on the way home to Ireland, so myself and the coach just jumped off there. Yeah. And we headed down to Rotterdam then and competed at that regatta. So that was nice to do that as well, you know. And there were some younger guys, there was junior teams and under 23 teams and that. So I suppose it's kind of good to pass some of the racing and regatta, I suppose. You wouldn't call them secrets, but just ways of doing things, you know, and it gives them a bit of experience as well and confidence in what they're doing. So I think they made some finals that year, and then the following year, this year, the younger guys, they took some medals at the 23 World Championships. So there's some good talent coming up as well, so we're always trying to pass what we know on to them, and then we're trying to learn new things as well, which is why we kind of made this trip down here to New Zealand, because they have here one of the best rowing nations in the world. Rollers in the top two or three, or if not the top rowing nation every year at the World Championship. So we know a lot of the guys on the team, and they're always saying to us, Joe, like, it's their summer when it's our winter. So to come down and do some training with them, and it's been a fantastic experience so far. So we're thrilled to be down here and to be welcomed with fantastic.
Right, we'll take a break there for a minute. You've picked some songs here. This song, next song we're going to play is Song for Ireland. You like Luke Kelly, you do?
Yeah, he's the man. Yeah, you were telling me earlier, was it, that he's 34 years
today.
Today or yesterday.
Today he died. So we'll play this song, Song for Ireland. We'll come back and we'll take up the conversation about, when the championship is here, where people can go to see you, and what else you're going to do, and how you're looking for the next Olympics. So stand by and we'll play this. Here's Luke and Song for Ireland.
Oh, fabulous.
Walking all the day near tall towers where falcons build their nests. Silver-winged they fly, they know the call of freedom in their breasts. Saw Blackhead against the sky, where twisted rocks they run to the sea. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Drinking all the day in old pubs where fiddlers love to play, saw one touch the bow. He played a reel which seemed so grand and gay. Stood on Dingle Beach in wild foam we found Atlantic bass living on your western shore. Saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song for your land. With true friends who try to make you stay, telling jokes and the news, singing songs to while the time away. Watched the Galway salmon run like silver, dancing, darting in the sun, living on your western shore. Saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea and I sang a song for Ireland. Dreaming in the night, I saw a land where no one to fight. Waking in your dawn, I saw you crying in the morning light. Sleeping where the falcons fly, they twist and turn all in your air blue sky. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood for Atlantic sea and I sang a song for Ireland.
Yes, the late, great Luke Kelly there and his version of A Song for Ireland, one of the songs chosen by my special guest on the programme tonight, Irish rower Paul O'Donovan, who's with us. Just to let you know, you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on a Wednesday night on Planet FM in Auckland. Our delayed broadcast going out on Saturday night in Wellington and Christchurch. And greetings to people listening around the country and around the globe on planetaudio.org.nz. Just looking through the headlines in the Irish Independent today, not a very good look for Irish rugby as Ireland is preparing for the first Six Nations match against France this weekend. And the big headline is, how many times does a girl have to say no? This relates to the rape trial that started in Belfast yesterday, and accused is former Irish out half Paddy Jackson, along with another Ulster player, Stuart Olling, along with two other men. It makes grim reading, and this is covered in nearly every morning paper in Ireland, and the tabloids have gone to town big time on it, but certainly the bits of it that I've read, it's not good reading. So the trial will continue. And then you go to page 2 and 3, and it talks about the ugly brawl outside a pub in Donnybrook the other night between fans of St Michael's College and Terenure College after a rugby game in Donnybrook. So it says, Fee Paying Schools calls on to probe violent street brawl after a rugby match. And then the other headline, businessman goes to ground owing $3.8 million to charities. And it says this businessman, he's basically gone from, his name is Peter Conlon, he's gone from being on the rich list in Ireland to obviously involved in fraud at the moment. So not good. And the weather, just to let you know what the weather is like in Ireland at the moment, it certainly wasn't the last few days. I'll get to the front of the Irish Times here. It says the weather cold, blustery and showery. Some thunder is also likely, and the high of 4 to 7 degrees, and there's a prediction of some snow and sleet to come over the weekend. So it's a bit warmer down in Cambridge, so you're in a good part of the world, Paul, rather than being back in Skibbereen. So what's it like training in Ireland over the winter? Like, it's obviously the conditions would be pretty tough.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's less than ideal, to be honest, for the rowing, because we get so many storms and things like that coming in over the Atlantic, you know, that it's just always windy, rainy, miserable and grey, and a lot of the time we can't get out in the water, so we have to go on the indoor rowing machine, and that's great for keeping the fitness, but to rowing in the boat, there's a lot more than that. There's the balance and technique and timing. So, you know, the ideal scenario, you'd be out in the boat pretty much every day, you know, which is another reason why we're after coming down to the summer weather here in New Zealand. It's just like that, you know, it's been 30 degrees nearly every day since we've got here, and the wind has been down quite a bit as well. So, ideal conditions and great to get the vitamin D in as well.
Well, you talked about the success of New Zealand rowers, and their success is rewarded by more investment, the great facilities down there, but the rowers themselves are able to row full-time. They're not paid to the same level as All Blacks and some of the cricket players, but certainly, you know, they can make a living out of it while training full-time. What's it like for you guys in Ireland? Because both you and your brother, you're full-time students as well as full-time sports people, I suppose.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, I suppose we were full-time. Gary would have graduated in 2016, and I just graduated a couple of months ago. And so I did another bit of study up until Christmas time just to keep myself ticking over. And then when we had this trip planned here and we had the degree in the bag, we're just, I suppose, kind of full-time just for until next September anyway, what that goes. But I suppose at home, like all sports really, it is difficult to get the funding, you know, and a lot of the time, especially when you're younger, you're kind of relying on the parents to support you and pay for levies and stuff like that to go to a gaffers or buy a boat or something like that. But I suppose, you know, you just have to get on with it. And the main thing is that you have the attitude that you're going to train hard regardless. And even if that's, you know, if you have the right attitude, you will be able to get results and start to get a bit of recognition and something behind you, then you know that.
And did you manage to capitalise on your success in the Olympics? Did you get some endorsements and stuff like that? Obviously, the success must have helped.
We have taken some ambassador roles. So, actually, one of the main ones we had back home would have been, like, Eggs for Bordia. We were kind of youth ambassadors for the credit union, and with SPD, an insurance company, we were actually kind of youth ambassadors as well. So we kind of did run competitions to go, you know, sports day with the school or something like that. So they were kind of ones that fitted well with us, you know, kind of healthy eating and just encouraging kids to partake in sporting activities and also academics, you know. So I think it was nice that we were able to get a good fit like that while we were doing it, you know.
And tell me this, is there a big difference between rowing on your own and rowing with your brother? Are you in similar type of boats when you're doing the different types of rowing?
Yeah, to be honest, the rowing is very, very similar, nearly the exact same. It's just once you go into the double sculls, say the boat's a little bit longer, and there's a little bit more synchronicity that you have to think about. But because I'm the one setting the pace, it's Gary has to do the thinking about that, so I can just do my usual thing. So it's not so different for me. But I think being brothers anyway, we're of a similar stature and have similar arm spans and heights and leg lengths and stuff. So it's quite easy for us to blend together, you know, which is that makes that a little bit easier than us being brothers.
Brilliant, brilliant. And do you get on well together, you do?
We do, yeah. Actually, I mean, like most brothers, really, sure. You'd always be arguing and stuff over little things, but then it's easy to forget about them then after that. So you can afford to be upfront and honest as well, because we know that we won't fall out with each other. But then, I suppose it gets hard then at times, you know, because we'd be... we'd be living together and training together and sleeping together, especially on training camps and stuff, that you'd just be sick of the sight of each other after 2 weeks together, you know.
You mentioned when you started your dad coached you. So who was your coach? Have you still got the same coaching structure you had pre-Olympics?
Well, Dominic Casey, he would have been the head coach at the Skibbereen Rowing Club, and he would have rode with our dad as well when the two of them were growing up. And so Dad was always kind of coaching us, and Dominic was there as well. And then once we hit the senior level, Dominic was kind of the full-time coach of us, and he was kind of volunteering to coach us up until the Rio Olympics, because we were just very happy and we worked well together as a team. And then following the Olympics, because we did so well, they gave him a full-time position at Rowing Ireland. So he left his job. He was kind of repairing fishing trawlers and stuff like that in the boat yard down in Skibbereen. And he left that, so he's the full-time coach at Rowing Ireland now. And he's arriving out to Cambridge this evening to meet us out here for a couple of weeks. So
oh, brilliant.
He said there earlier, he said we're in for an onslaught of training. So, he's really going to drive us hard now the next couple of weeks.
Well, what we'll do, we'll play another song here. And the brother, Gary, was he in the kitchen there at the start of the interview? Has he done the cooking?
I'll give him a show.
Well, we'll play this song. Yeah. This is Desi O'Halloran singing all about courting in the kitchen. So, and when we come back, we'll have a chat to Gary and then
Gary,
come back and wrap
in
up.
The kitchen out there now.
Good. Well, here he goes. Tell him to give him the phone and we'll come back to him in a minute. All right. Here we go. Courting in the kitchen.
Single bell and woe, unto me pay attention. Don't ever fall in love, it's the devil's own invention. Once I fell in love with a maiden so bewitching, they'll send a rate of bell out of Captain Gary's kitchen. With me toodle-oodle-la, me toodle-oodle-la, me toodle-oodle-la, toodle-oodle-oodle-la. At the age of 17, the apprentice to a grocer, not far from Stephen's Green, where Miss Henry used to go, sir. Manner was sublime, she set my heart a twitching, and she invited me to holy in the kitchen. With me to the Lorella, me to the Lorella, me to the Lorella, to the Lorella. We were to have the flare up. I dressed myself quite nice and I shaved and brushed my hair up. Captain had no wife and he was gone out fishing, so he kicked up my life down below stairs in the kitchen. With me to the Lorella, me to the Lorella, me to the Lorella, to the Lorella. After all her ways, she's lightly added into the touring haze. Came Captain Kelly's gathered, rice soon filled with it, and poison she was bitten. When Captain Kelly at the door, I'm straight into the kitchen. With me to the Lorella, me to the Lorella, me to the Lorella, to the Lorella. He saw my situation. In spite of all my prayers, I was marched up to the station. On me they take no pay, to get home I was ditching. But I had to tell the truth, how I came into the kitchen. With me to the Lorella, me to the Lorella, me to the Lorella, to the Lorella.
I said she didn't invite me, but she gave a flat denial. For I saw she didn't invite me, and I was sent to trial. Sworn I robbed the house in spite of all her screeching. I got 6 months long in jail for putting in the kitchen. Me total lord of love, me total lord of love, me total lord of love.
Yes, indeed, that's Desi O'Halloran there and singing all about Cootin' in the Kitchen. If you've tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Auckland studios on a Wednesday night on Planet FM. Our delayed broadcast going out in Wellington and Christchurch and Kapiti Coast on Saturday night. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and around the world. The programme brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And tonight, we're delighted to welcome to the programme brothers Paul, who we just spoken to, and now Gary O'Donovan, who are down here to compete in the New Zealand Rowan Championships. They took part in the North Island finals last weekend. And Gary, you did well. You came third in the B final.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very good. You had a bit of more success than Paul in your final on Sunday. You came third. Well done.
Third, yeah, but that equates to about 11th place overall, so it's quite a bit back off the pace.
Very good. We talked about your success at the Olympics. Where did the expression "pull like a dog" come? Is that unique to Skibbereen rowers?
No, I actually never heard it in my life until Paul said it at the Olympics first from Peter Jones. But we hear it an awful lot, I think.
And because I was telling my wife and children that I was going to be interviewing you tonight, and my daughter's a student down in Otago University, which is a great spot to go if you have time to go down there. And you know, when the Olympics was on, and after your appearance on television, which was obviously big on here as well as in Ireland, everybody was talking about pull like a dog. But you've obviously been pulling together. You're the older of the two brothers. You've been rowing from a very early age, and obviously you've enjoyed it, and the success at the Olympics must have been unreal to get up there and to get a silver medal in the Olympics.
That's right, yeah. You know, like we started rowing when we were 7 and 8 years old, and 17 years ago now or so.
Yes.
So we're a long time at it, but it's great. You know, there's kids all over the country at home in Ireland that all after taking a big interest in the sport, and you know, the clubs are having fierce trouble dealing with the numbers that are looking to start growing. You know, they're seeming not to be able to facilitate them all if there's such demand, and you know, I guess there's a complaint, which is a good complaint to be having at the same time.
I'm from Galway originally, and I remember, I think there was there a, I forget who the guys was, but there was a few good rowers from Galway that made it to Olympics, but no success probably in the 80s. I'm kind of thinking, did Galway have a good rowing club?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, there's a few up there in Galway, like, you know, I've drawn you well, Galway Rowing Club in UIG, always produce good rowers, but there's a bunch of them in Galway. They have a good old history. I know they had a good year at the Beijing Olympics. So
where's the next, obviously, the down here you're competing, so practicing in the New Zealand. Now, when are you racing down here again in New Zealand? So listeners near to Hamilton or Auckland that might like to go for a spin down to Lake Karapiro, when are you racing again in New Zealand here?
We've been here 4 weeks, and we've 2 weeks of training left.
Right.
Until the championships, the New Zealand, the national championships are on, and we'll be competing there in the double, and we'll be racing in the singles also. And I think they start on the 13th of February and they finish on the 17th of February.
13th to the 17th
of February. The finals will be running on the 16th and 17th of February.
And they're all at Lake Karapiro in Cambridge.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, good, so you've been here a month. Well, that's great. Yeah.
The strength of the racing is phenomenal. Like, you know, you've all Olympic medalists from New Zealand, you know, Matthew Dryson will be racing there. You've got a bunch of world champions, and, you know, the standard is probably higher here in a lot of the events that it would be compared to the world championships. It's probably faster racing here, like, you know.
Yes. Now, put that phone close to your mouth, because some of your voice was coming and going there. Now, what about you compete against these New Zealanders? You've known them for a few years, obviously, taking part in other regattas. And as Paul was saying earlier, he's amazed by New Zealand's success. We have had a lot of success down here.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Like, you know, even when we were racing there last weekend, one of the lightweight guys that we compete against, he set an unofficial world record last weekend, you know. And
brilliant.
In February, like, the world championships aren't on until August, and he's setting a world record in February, like, so, you know, the standard down here is absolutely phenomenal, and there's so many Olympic and world medalists to if, unless anyone was to come down and watch, like, they wouldn't just be seeing myself and Paul, but there's all Olympic and world championship medalists and gold medalists and everything. And the racing is very exciting and all of that. Like,
where's the world championships? Where are they this year? They're predominantly always in the northern hemisphere, are they?
They're in Bulgaria this year. Yeah,
very good.
End of August.
And do you have to qualify for them, or do you automatically get in automatic entry?
Once we get selected on the Irish team, then we can go to them. Yeah.
Yes.
So we go home once we finish up in our stint, because we're going from New Zealand to Sydney. We're going to spend 6 weeks there. And once we get home, then back to Ireland, we'll do our national trials, and hopefully we'll get selected in the double again this year and drive on into the summer and the World Championships at home.
Brilliant. And are you going to get a chance to go and see a bit of the rest of New Zealand? Are you going to get down to the South Island?
We are, yeah. That's the plan anyway. Like, we'll finish, as soon as we finish the national championships here, we'll have a week then to do some travelling. So we're planning on going to the South Island and doing a bit of sightseeing down there. We heard it's meant to be beautiful.
Oh, it's lovely down there. Well, it'd be nice to, you've got a fellow county many years down there showing the Crusaders backline how to gel. Ronan O'Gara has taken up a post down here, so would you have come across him?
We haven't met him, no, but sure, if we're in the room, we're talking to him for a cup of coffee or something.
Yeah, no, well, I'm sure he would love, I what do you call it, a friend of mine works with his brother in Dublin, and he was looking forward to here, and he was on the television the other night. So if you weren't here now, it'd be all indoor rowing you'd be doing on exercise bicycles, would it be at home, because you wouldn't be out in the cold weather.
The weather's just too cold and wet and windy, and also it's kind of miserable. It's lovely to be down here in the sunshine, working on the suntans and getting out in the water every day.
Well, I look at Matty Drysdale, I think Matty's about 37 if from memory, and he's still obviously fighting to get into the New Zealand team. He's up against it, so you can keep rowing for quite a while. You know, it's not like a rugby player. If you're a front row forward, you kind of hang your boots up in your early 30s, so he could potentially, although Matty is a unique specimen, isn't he? He's just one of these.
He's exceptional, yeah, but
Well, look, it's been absolutely brilliant to talk to you. You're enjoying it down here. You were in the kitchen there cooking. So, yeah, what's the average? What's the diet for a day now? What do you have in the morning when you get up? Before you eat something before you train, or do a bit of training first?
Yeah. We do as much eating as we can. We figure the more eating we do, the more training we can do, because we'll have more energy to burn.
Yes.
So we're just eating and eating and eating. Usually we'd have an old bowl of porridge there with only peanut butter and honey inside. And
yes.
Honey around here is lovely. Like,
as it there is. Yes.
Meat and you name it, we've been eating it.
And Paul said that you like the steaks down here, they're pretty good, yeah?
Yeah, everything is, the burgers, everything. The fish, there's lovely fish as well.
I know,
so it's lovely.
Right, well, he gave me 10 songs, I've played 3 of them already, so here's ones that I haven't played. You tell me whether you like this: The Holy Ground, The Lakes of Pontchartrain.
Oh, that's a really good one. The Clancy Brothers, is it?
The Clancy Brothers, The Holy Ground.
Yeah.
Right, I'll play that. But look, Gary, great to talk to you and Paul. And congratulations again. You certainly put Ireland on the map in Rio in 2016. And when I spoke to Paul yesterday and you today, you're just normal blokes that get out and enjoy yourselves. And I think, that's why you're so popular, not alone in Ireland, but down here in New Zealand as well. So we wish you well. And I'll try to get down and see, over the weekend, the following 2 weeks' time when the finals are on. All right?
Brilliant. Thanks a million. Thanks for having us on the show.
Very good now, and we'll go here with the holy right. ground. Very good.
All the best.
Well, my lovely Dinah, a thousand times adieu. For we're gone away from the holy ground and the girls we all love too. We will sail the salt seas o'er and we'll return for shore to see again the girls we love and the holy ground once more.
I'll tell you what,
the girl I do adore, and still I live in a home.
Yes, Tommy Makem there and the Clancy Brothers and Holy Ground. And if you've tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling. And on the programme tonight, we had a great chat there to Gary Latterly and Paul before that, O'Donovan. And they're down here to compete in the New Zealand National Rowing Championships. And if you're anywhere near the Cambridge area, they're rowing in the finals from the 13th to the 17th of February. And great to hear them and talk about what life has been like since they shot to international fame after gaining that gold medal or silver medal in the lightweight sculls doubles at the Olympics in 2016. Right, oh, other sporting news in Ireland. The Gaelic Games hurling and football league started last weekend. I think there was about 30 odd games being played all around Ireland and all around the country last weekend. And I suppose there was one or two shocks. Kilkenny beaten, and Wexford obviously had success as well. Offaly came out good. They beat Dublin. Galway, All-Ireland champions, were lucky to beat Antrim at home. And in footballs, from memory, some of the games, Kerry just beat Donegal. Donegal faced Galway this week. Galway had a couple of points win over Tyrone and Tuam. And Dublin, too good. And Meath and Roscommon drew. And Mayo came through. So a lot of Gaelic games now for the next few weeks. And, of course, the All-Ireland Club Football and Hurling Championships semi-finals are coming up in 2 weeks' time, and the finals played in Croke Park on St Patrick's Day. But the big focus this weekend is on rugby, and Ireland opens its Six Nations Championship with the game against France in Paris. And everybody's expecting Ireland to win the Six Nations this year. Everybody's expecting them to do well last year, and they slipped up in Scotland in their opening game. So on paper, they certainly should be better than France. But Ireland, victories in France or in Paris are few and far between. France have a new coach this year, so it'll be interesting to see what team that Joe Schmidt picks. I think he announces the team on Thursday for the game on Saturday. And all the games will be on the Rugby Channel here. I'm pretty sure if you've got the Rugby Channel, you'll be able to get the games. Most of them are live. If not, there'll be delayed broadcasts. And of course, we're not far away from the Super Rugby starting here. I'm working on a magazine at the moment that'll be in the papers on the Sunday week on the 11th of February. Hard to believe that the Super Rugby season starts the following week, although it's 2 weeks after that it starts in New Zealand. The first few rounds are in South Africa. Right, other news from the papers, the front of the Irish Times today. The government have met the other night and they said that the referendum to change or alter the wording of Article 8 of the Irish Constitution regarding the rights to the mother and unborn child, otherwise known as the abortion referendum, will take place towards the end of May. The wording, the minister said, Minister for Health and the Attorney General will work on the wording of what will be in the referendum within the next few weeks. That'll be ready at the end of February. There's a funeral today for the, I think, 13th victim of the gang-lang feud that's been going on between the Keenans and the Hutch families. And overnight, another member related to the Hutch family seems to have been gunned down. A known criminal was shot dead in the north inner city, Dublin. And so, obviously, the man was killed last Saturday week out in Clondalkin, and then last Friday night outside the National Boxing Stadium in South Circular Road, there was another drive-by shooting there with a tourist injured, but another man seriously injured, but he wouldn't cooperate with the police from his hospital bed on Saturday. So it's obviously related again to the feud that's going on now for nearly 3 years between the Hutch and the Keenahan gang. And the Keenahan gang, it's all over looking after their patch in terms of they want to control the drug scene in Ireland, and anybody that gets in their way, they're certainly not shy in taking them out. And the police are at full resources trying to cope with it. But, you know, last night, what can they do when two men come up and attack a man when he's on his own and shoot him, and he died shortly afterwards in hospital. And as I said, rugby, people should be looking forward to a big weekend of rugby, and it should be getting a lot of publicity. But school rugby fans urged to show respect, follow and fight. That's a headline in the Irish Times. And of course, the rape trial in Belfast of former Irish out half Paddy Jackson and three of his fellow rugby players from Ulster. Certainly some of them play with Ulster, but there's three of them being charged with rape and one with being, for Burton, the course of justice. Not a good look when you look at all the Irish papers today. Okay, we'll continue on with another song that was picked today by, in fact, we'll go with Foster and Allen. This is my choice, and this is Foster and Allen and the Oslo Waltz, right? Yes, the Oslo Waltz there from Foster and Allen, and you'll hear that and many of their other favourite songs when they tour New Zealand, starting in Tauranga on Friday the 13th of April. And you can get tickets to their concerts by contacting Ticketek for most of the shows, and then there's some of the theatres are doing tickets directly. But I've got some double passes to give away for the shows in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, so all you got to do is to put your name and address on the back of an envelope or a postcard and send it to me, Oliver Lee, at P.O. Box 331667, Takapuna, Auckland. Oliver Lee, P.O. Box 331667, Takapuna, Auckland. And 0740 is the code. And if you send them in over the next few weeks, we'll announce the winners on the programme at the end of February and give you plenty of time to get the tickets out there. And we'll be speaking to members, either one or two of the members of the band, of the group, before they tour down here. Well, that's about it for another programme. I hope you've enjoyed the programme tonight and enjoyed hearing the two O'Donovan brothers, Paul and Gary, and talking about their experiences, not alone at the Olympics, but what's involved in being a top sportsman rowing, and how they're enjoying life in New Zealand. They're obviously enjoying life to the full. Good on them. And you know, wherever they are, they seem to be very, very happy. So if we'll mention the exact details of when they're rowing again next week on the programme, but as I said there, they'll be rowing in the rowing regattas, runs from the 13th to the 17th of February down the Karapiro. From me, good night, goodbye, and God bless.